Hello, Harry Potter fans. Welcome back to Chatty Potter. This is the penultimate episode for 2021. We've got this episode and then one more before we finish until the new year. Today's guest is Mac, who is TikTok's own Harry Potter quiz master. We're going to talk about our favourite pieces of Harry Potter trivia, as well as some rather large tangents about other YA series we liked, including The Mortal Instruments. Just a quick reminder before we jump into the episode, you can support the podcast on Patreon. It's patreon.com/chattypotter. It's only £5 a month, and there's a bunch of exclusive content I'm working on that will be going on Patreon in the new year. It's only £5 a month. That's patreon.com/chattypotter. And I'm excited to announce that we've launched merch, all inspired by some of your favorite characters from the Wizarding World. You can get those from brettsthoughtsshop.com. There are some cool mugs over there inspired by lines from Lupin and Mad-Eye Moody, some socks that are inspired by Dobby, as well as a bunch of other great stocking fillers just in time for Christmas. So feel free to check that out at brettsthoughtsshop.com. Otherwise, enjoy the episode. Mac, thank you so much for joining me for the podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Do you want to start by introducing yourself, what sort of content it is that you create on the internet?
Yeah. So I'm on TikTok as Mac Brenneman, and I make pretty much all Harry Potter content. And I think I'm best known for my character comparison videos. So I compare in the books versus the movies how I think the characters are like similar or different. And then more recently, I think I've become kind of popular for the Harry Potter trivia videos that I put out. So that's kind of me on the internet.
Amazing. Yes. Lots of Harry Potter, which we love here.
Yeah.
I guess before we jump into the specific content you make, why Harry Potter? Of all the topics you could make content about on the internet, what is it about Harry Potter that stuck out for you?
I actually didn't start as a Harry Potter account. I actually, way back when I first started, was like very much like a lifestyle blog type feel and was talking about like mental health and stuff. And, you know, trying to still be funny. Like I'm always trying to be funny on the internet, sometimes failing. But I try, and I took a break from it for a long time and came back and was like, I really wasn't feeling that. I'm going to try and get kind of into like the book talk sphere. I mean, it gets kind of exhausting sometimes, like especially if your content's like not doing well, it kind of like becomes a drain after a while. So I had taken this break and I came back and was like, I'm just going to talk about stuff that I like to talk about. So I was making like Twilight, Percy Jackson, and like Harry Potter content, because I was like, these are all things that I love.
Yeah.
And my video comparing like Ginny Weasley in the books versus the movies like went viral. And I was like, all right, like let's ride this train and let's just keep making Harry Potter content. I mean, I've always loved Harry Potter, but I don't think I realized how much content I would have the potential to make around it and how quickly the ideas would start coming. So I was like, let's go. Like, let's be a Harry Potter account. I'm down for this.
100%. And to be fair, that's a question I get asked quite a lot by people who don't make content. Is like, if it's just Harry Potter, surely you've run out of ideas by now. But there's just so many things you can talk about, right?
It's endless.
100%. Especially, I guess, like character comparisons and breakdowns and theories. And then it's like you said, your trivia stuff that you're doing now is like a whole other avenue. Like, you don't even have to come up with ideas anymore. You almost come up with formats. And you're like, okay, once I come up with a format, I've got 100 other ideas that fall into that.
Yeah, because like with the character comparison videos, I could do those forever because I could be doing different scenes, different parts of the books, and it's really endless, and there's so much you can do with it. And I think there's also content like I had a video one time I made of like things that I think that Vernon Dursley wouldn't allow in his house because they're too magical. So like that's not based on canon. It's just like me coming up with random stuff. So
I did not get that video on my For You page, and I'm very upset because it sounds brilliant. Can you give me some examples?
I have another one that I think I'm going to post later today. It's like a part two, because part two was a while ago, or part one was a while ago. I don't think that he would allow a yoga mat. I think he would be like, that's like the gateway drug to witchcraft. Like yoga, too dangerous, too much on the line. So I just was like, I think he'd be really freaked out by helium. I think he'd be like, that's the devil's element. I can't allow helium like in balloons. Like we can't do it.
Yes, so. 100%. Like, especially like if he overheard Dobby in the Chamber of Secrets and then heard like Dudley like doing the helium voice, he's going to think, you know, two and two together, that's the same thing.
He's going to get freaked out by it. I stand by that these are things that he just would not be able to handle. So
100%. And smart assistants as well, like any like Alexas or anything like that in his house.
Yeah, I think in my first video, I had like a Roomba. He'd be freaked out, but it's like a sentient robot. There's no way.
Amazing. I love that. It's just one step up from the Charmed Ford Anglia, really. It's like a Charmed Hoover.
Exactly. Exactly.
100%. Amazing. I love that. Okay, so jumping back to something you mentioned before, you talked about your sort of new wave of content is quizzes. Sort of more recently, that's what's blown up. How did that come about? Because that's how I found you, and I loved it. I was like immediately like, heck yes, I'm doing every single one of these.
And I have to say, your duet was one of my favorites because you were just like genuinely excited. And I love that. Like some people duet me and they are stone-faced the whole time and they look like they are being tortured. And I'm like, is this fun for you? Like I'm unsure. But you were having so much fun with it. And I love the TikTok 10. I'm like, I love doing those quizzes.
Oh my God, same.
I just love trivia in general. Like when I was in grad school, I had like a trivia team and we did trivia every Tuesday at like our local dive bar.
Yes.
So I've always loved trivia. And I was like, no one is doing just like very specific Harry Potter trivia, at least not that I know of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, bet, like I'm going to do some Harry Potter trivia.
Nice.
And also like, I don't think I realized, like I have such respect for Miles who does the TikTok 10. It is so hard to memorize and get the pacing down of the questions when I'm filming. Like sometimes it takes me like an hour to get the video filmed because I'm just like mess up the pacing or something. And I'm like, oh, so frustrating.
Oh my word. I was going to ask you because I've actually been like, if I ever spoke to Miles, that would be one of the first questions I'd asked him is like, how many takes does it take you on average? Because that just feels so hard because you've got to get it under a minute for duets to be on, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got, like, you can't even go an extra 3 seconds. Like you can't give yourself that safety blanket. So the first one then, I assume with more practice, it gets a bit easier. But the first one, how many times do you think you tried before you went for it? Or like before you got it right?
Okay, actually, I filmed one recently that was the hardest one I've done so far.
Really?
And it was a Marauders edition. I haven't like captioned it yet. And I have to like manually caption them. So it takes a hot second. But I filmed the Marauders one. And I don't know if I just wrote myself really trickily worded questions.
Yeah.
But if I don't have any bloopers because I just deleted them out of anger, but like it was literally me probably 60 times just being like, what do you put under your tongue to become an animagus? But like it's phrased differently than that. And I was just getting so frustrated. So probably like 60 takes for that one, which like normally it's a little bit less than that. But that one I don't know. I guess I wrote myself really trickily worded questions for that one and I was struggling.
Oh no, and I'm really upset because I don't know what you put under your tongue to be an animagus. I have no idea what the answer to that is, which is extremely frustrating.
You're going to have to duet it and have the Harry Potter community come for you.
I'm definitely skipping the Marauders one now you've said that. Oh my, like honestly, we're going to have to cut this out of the podcast as well. People will take my head.
Oh yeah, honestly, okay, I filmed a trivia video the other day and I mistakenly said, who is Fudge's house elf? And I meant Barty Crouch and I just like switched them in my head. Mm-hmm. And I posted it and people were coming for me so hard, so fast that I deleted the whole video, refilmed it, like the fastest I've ever done it, recaptioned it, put it back up. My little Ravenclaw heart could not take people being like, you're wrong, like over and over again.
Yeah. And having like a mistake out there in the world, like evidence that you messed something up.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. I was like, I can't handle this. Like my sense of self relies too much on people thinking that I'm like an intelligent person.
Honestly, I don't mean, especially like when you're trying to, I guess when you're trying to be a Harry Potter TikToker, you need some form of like, I don't know, credential behind you so that people think there's some like, there's some weight to what you say on the topic. So as soon as you mess up something like Fudge or Barty Crouch, like that's it. You lose the platform. People stop taking you seriously.
It's, oh my gosh. It's so, and like people, I honestly, like I've faced way more criticism since I've started doing the trivia videos than I ever have like on any of my other videos. Yeah, it's been kind of wild. And I also think it's because like they get on people's For You page just because it's trivia. So I get some people like outside of the Harry Potter community who say like I had someone tell me it was disgusting to listen to me talk about Harry Potter in an American accent.
Oh my God, really?
I was like, okay. Like, yikes.
That's heavy. Why?
I don't know. And then I have people who are just completely outside of like Harry Potter who are like, ew, like get a life, get hobbies. And I'm like, this is the hobby.
Yeah, honestly. Hello? Like, you're on TikTok leaving hate comments on Harry Potter content. I feel like that's worse.
Absolutely.
Like, maybe get yourself a hobby first before you come for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Once you once things spread, like I made a video about problems with Dumbledore, particularly like in the Chamber of Secrets. I was like, he's had 50 years. He was at the school when it was open before. He's at the school when it's been open now.
Yeah.
He's had 50 years. Why has he not looked for the Chamber of Secrets in that time? Like, he's just like, oh, we'll just leave it, see if it opens again. Like, and people were like, for plot, it has to, because that's, otherwise there would be no book. I'm like, I recognize that. But we're sort of talking about it in a different capacity to that.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise you can't ever say anything about anything, right? There's no criticism, because it's just, well, that's just the story.
Right. And it's like, we can accept that this was written in a way because there needed to be conflict, and still critique that it, like, that there are flaws within it. Like, that's normal.
100%. And that's, I guess that's one of my favorite things about this podcast and being part of the, like, Harry Potter community online, is like, we talk about it like it's real life. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, me criticizing Dumbledore doing something is as though he was a real person, even though I'm fully aware he's not. But I will pick holes in his character, like, regardless, you know?
Well, and I think it's really funny the other way too, because sometimes people will work really hard to justify a choice that was made in the books. Like, I had a trivia question the other day that was, you know, like, what is the animal that represents Ravenclaw? And it's an eagle, and that gets people heated.
Yeah,
people get like kind of up in arms about that one. But I had a lot of people being like, well, it's Ravenclaw, it's an eagle, but like, it's not named after the animal, the raven. Like, it's named after Rowena Ravenclaw. And I'm like, you realize JKR named her though. Like, she could have made it a raven. Like, it's just funny watching people like kind of jump through the hoops of like, well, but it's not named after an animal, it's named after a person. Yeah, that JKR named, like, she was the person that made all of this choices.
Right. It all comes back to the same decision maker in the end. Like,
right. I'm like, this isn't like, yes, we talk, and like, I talk about it like it's real all the time, but I just think it's funny sometimes when people are like, well, yeah, obviously, because of this. And I'm like, yeah, but that came out of someone's brain as being imaginary. Like, we have to sometimes like have that point of view for things to make sense.
So, yeah, 100%. Do you get much of people telling you as an adult you shouldn't be interested in Harry Potter, like, move on, you know? Do you get much of that?
Yeah. I also like I had someone one time on my, like, one of my most popular comparison videos, I think it was my Ron one, someone was like, what people who cosplay Harry Potter don't realize is that they're a disappointment to everyone around them. And I was like, oh my God,
that's heavy.
And I was like, actually, my mom is like just as big of a Harry Potter fan as I am, and she's 50. So like, get on our level. Like, Harry Potter for all ages.
Mm. And also, just let people enjoy things. Like, who are you hurting, right?
It's yeah. I think that there's a lot of that of, I think, what is the phrase someone used one time? It's yucking other people's yum. Like, when someone enjoys something and you're just ew. Like, no, like, let people just have fun.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
And that's not mine. Someone said that in a TikTok video, and I was like, I love that. So,
oh no, take it. Claim it as your own.
Held on to that for sure.
Amazing. Oh, I love that. Okay, so your quizzes, like you said, have gone pretty far and wide. Got a quite a lot of duets on that. How have you found that, like, I know you said you had your Ginny comparison go viral, but I guess it's different having a bit more of an active virality to, like, the quizzes and stuff, like far more duets and stitches and stuff. Mm-hmm. How's that been as an experience?
It's been really weird. And I told myself, I was like, I'm going to watch every duet that anyone ever does with me. But then when I would wake up in the morning, like recently, and it was like, you have 47 mentions, I was like, I am not watching every single one of these. Because it gets so grating to hear your own voice over and over again. And like, mom was in the room the other day when I was doing it. And she was like, okay, we sound so similar that it sounds like I'm listening to myself do this. So like, you need to put in headphones. Like, I can't listen to our collective voice any more than this.
Especially if you've said she's a Harry Potter fan as well. I guess those are actually words that would come out of her mouth too. Like, that's
totally
so good. Because I feel the same. Because like, I had I paid for Professor Sprout, the actress, to roast me ages ago. And it, like, blew up. It went massively viral, which was lovely. But recently I had a video that didn't get anywhere near as many views, but got duetted to death, like asking people what doesn't make sense in Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And I got sick of seeing myself on my For You page. And you must be getting some of that, because like everyone in the Harry Potter community is duetting your videos right now to do these quizzes, or a lot of them at least. Like, are you sick of it yet, or still riding the wave of it?
I think it is kind of nice, because mine don't like show up on my For You page as much, because it's a lot of like, I actually don't get duetted as much by like Harry Potter creators, surprisingly. Like, you duetted my video, and then like I had someone else duet it who like I wasn't actually as familiar with their content, but like I have never had myself show up in my For You page. So I can like ignore it a little bit more. Like, if I just like don't want to look at my mentions, I can be like, yeah, I'm done looking at myself. And also, like, if I see that I have like a hair out of place or something, then every time I watch it, I'm like, there it is, that hair that is still out of place. And it does get monotonous, but I also am so like thankful, and I love watching people have so much fun with it. So I do keep going back to watch them, just because I love seeing people enjoy it. And so many people, like, I say wands at the ready in the trivia videos as like my prompt that we're going to start the questions. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of people who like have a wand like in their hand ready to do the trivia. And I just think that's super sweet.
Nice. Oh, see, I recorded the second one today, my duet with you, and I didn't do as well as I'd hoped, but I thought I actually have a wand somewhere lying around. I should have got that, but I'll do it for the next one. But now that we've talked about it, I feel like it's just going to come across as inauthentic. Like, oh, Max said she liked it, so Brett did it for the next one. So now I just can't do it ever again. You've ruined it.
I'm sorry. You can't have fun with the rest of us. You can't sit with us. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I obviously just mentioned that I have done a duet to one of your quizzes. And I'm going to upload it soon, but I got two wrong. And I thought we'd go through the questions and you can guess whether you think I got it right or wrong. Should we do that? Okay, so I obviously just mentioned that I have done a duet to one of your quizzes. I'm going to upload it soon, but I got two wrong. And I thought we'd go through the questions and you can guess whether you think I got it right or wrong. Should we do that?
The first question is, what do both of Hermione's parents do for work? Do you think I got that right or wrong?
I think you got that right.
Did get that right.
Yeah.
Second question, how many turns of the time turner does Dumbledore suggest? Do you think I got that right or wrong?
You also got that right.
Did get that right. Next question. Finish this phrase. Emotional range of a...
I think you got that one right too.
Did. Next question. The second movie. Who does Hermione try to become with the Polyjuice Potion?
I also think you got that one right.
I did not get that one right. But I blame you entirely for it, because I just needed a second to think, and I said Mill and I couldn't remember the rest of her name, and then you gave the answer, and it's exclusively your fault and not mine for not being quick enough.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was on me. I'm so sorry. I will keep that in mind next time.
Yeah, can you reformat the show exclusively for me, please? Yes,
people request that of me all the time. They're like, will you do this way slower? I'm like, people can't duet me if I do it slower. But I always tell people, you can pause and process. Like, there's no rules here. So when people get like up in arms about it, I'm like, just pause it. Like, there's no one going to pop out and be like, you didn't do the trivia as intended.
I mean, you say no one's going to say that, but we've talked about the comments on TikTok recently. Like, that's people true. Will.
That's true.
Right. So first password Percy gives the fat lady. Do you think I got it right or wrong?
I think you missed that one.
I got that one right. That is another one of my favorite pieces of trivia. I once got told off in my year 11 English class for just constantly just going from the back of the classroom, just going, Caput Draconis. And my teacher told me off. This what a fucking dork I was in school. But I would just shout it out. And she didn't know it was me. And she was just like half an hour into the class, my teacher, Mrs. Cohen, I'm sure she's not listening, but if she ever happens to, she was like, who keeps saying that? Please, can you stop? And I was just like, oh, don't want to get in trouble for shouting at Harry Potter.
I was yelling Latin phrases in my classroom. Like, also, when I was little, I didn't know it was Caput Draconis. I thought it was Cabbage Draconis. For like the longest time, like an embarrassingly long time. And people in my comments have said that they also thought it was Cabbage Draconis, so I feel a little bit better about that now.
Amazing. We'll quickly go through the rest, because I want to know if you can get the next one right that I missed. How many points is a snitch worth? Do you think I got that right or wrong?
I think you got that right.
I did. What's a spell that changes animals into water goblets? Do you think I got it right or wrong?
I want to say you got it right, because you remember the password.
Did get it right.
Okay.
What spell does Hermione use on Devil's Snare? Do you think I got it right or wrong?
I think you got that one right too.
I got it so wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, And you know what? I'm still not confident now that I could tell you what it is. I'm paused before the answer and I still can't remember what it is. I remember the first part because it's two words and I can never remember the second word.
It's
and I'm angry thinking about it. Salem, it is. I said Lumos Maximum, but that's
which like makes sense. I think it goes down a little bit differently in the books, but that tripped up a lot of other people as well.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so as I guess Harry Potter's resident quizmaster now, are there any go-to pieces of trivia around Harry Potter that you love, like your favorite facts or bits of like pub quiz knowledge?
One of my favorites that I actually made, like before I started doing trivia at all, I just made like a separate video about it. One of my favorites is that Shirley Henderson, who plays Moaning Myrtle, when she played Moaning Myrtle, she was 37 at the time.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was playing a 14-year-old. That to me is just like so interesting that she was able to pull off playing a teenager. And I actually, the video that I made about it went like, it got like over a million views, but I had to turn off comments on it because people like did not, because I did it to like an audio. So I didn't explicitly say Shirley Henderson was 37 at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
But I had so many people in the comments that were like, wait, did you play Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter movies? And I was like, what? And then I had a lot of people being like, well, she clearly looks old in the picture that you included on here. And I'm like, yeah, but like her performance as a teenager is pretty convincing.
Mm.
So like I fully, like, I just think it's interesting. And I had a pinned comment saying that. And the thing that tipped me over the edge and I had to turn off comments was someone being like, yeah, she's playing a dead 14-year-old. We don't know how ghosts age. She was probably in her hundreds. What?
Okay.
I was like, babe, ghosts don't age. That is kind of the point.
Yeah.
So the comments on that video just got too wild and I was getting so many of them that I had to just turn it off.
Yeah,
but I love
that's
that trivia.
Fair enough. That's a great piece of trivia. I had no idea. That's brilliant. I love that.
I'm sure you have some favorites as well.
Yeah. So I've been reading Harry Potter live on TikTok recently, like chapter by chapter.
Yeah.
And I always point out when something gets mentioned and I'm like, this is one of my go-to pieces of trivia. So it's like, it's more for quizzes more than just like, this is a fun fact, but the vault number for the Philosopher's Stone is a great quiz question. 713.
Yeah.
Top speed of the firebolt, 150 kilometers per hour or miles per hour. I can't remember which one. I'm trying to think of there. And oh, my favorite one, and this is for a slightly different reason. And it's because one Christmas I got Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit for Christmas. And I was sharing a flat with this guy that I was friends with, and his girlfriend and my girlfriend were both over. And we were all just like playing Harry Potter trivia in this flat as grown adults do. And one of the questions was like, who does Hermione Polyjuice Potion as when they infiltrate the ministry? And I just knew it because it was just one of the things that stuck in my mind. The other guys were like stressing over it for ages and they couldn't remember. And they were just like, oh, we don't
right?
know. Like, it's Mafalda Hopkirk. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And I dropped that. And like, when I tell you, I have never felt like a rock star dropping the mic until that moment. Like, everyone in the room, and it's the first time I've ever felt like that with Harry Potter knowledge, everyone in the room just went silent, like, how do you know that? That's incredible. And I was like, it's just a bit of knowledge I've retained. Like, there's plenty of other stuff that I haven't, but it's that. And the fact that she's the one that writes the letter in the second book, right when he accidentally uses magic, or Dobby's magic gets caught up for him. That's one of my favorite pieces, but just explicitly for that moment.
Well, yeah, that's understandable.
Thank you. Yeah, that moment will live fondly in my memory forever. Just like getting 10 out of 10 on the first one of your quizzes. And the other bit of trivia that I hold very dear is because the person who bullied Moaning Myrtle before she ran into the cubicle and was killed shares the name with my stepmother's mother. They've got the same name. She's only mentioned that one time, but it stuck in my head. It's Olive Hornby.
Oh my
God. That's her name. And I was just like,
that's so... that's like, I love when things come together. It's
right?
Like full circle.
But yeah, exactly. Because like my stepmother and my father got married when I'd read Harry Potter a few times before they got married. So I was already familiar with
yeah.
that. And I remember going through a reread at one point and being like, oh my God, Olive Hornby, that is my stepmother's mother's name. That's like my step-grandma. Like, and I just have never forgot it ever since. Like, so that's another reason why it's one of my favorite bits of trivia.
Yeah. That's a great one. I'm going to put that in an episode if you don't mind. And I'm going to
please.
Like, hey, shout out to Brett for reminding me that this is like a great trivia question. So that'll
please
be fun.
Do. I will duet. Don't tell me which one it is. And then I'll duet it. And then I'll just,
okay.
You'll do the shout out and I'll get really excited.
Woo.
Amazing. Okay, so if it wasn't Harry Potter, you said that there are a few other things that you were making like content about. If you had to make trivia quizzes about something that wasn't Harry Potter, what would it be?
Ooh, I would probably have to reread it, but I love Percy Jackson and I know that a lot of other people do as well. Mm-hmm. And that was actually my very first video that got like over 10,000 views was a Percy Jackson video.
Really?
It was me talking about how like Percy Jackson very much like reminds me of like the drunk friend that you're trying to like get home from the bar. And they're like, no, like I'm just going to like keep getting into stuff and like you can't stop me. And it's trying to like run away from you, like that type of friend.
Right.
So that was like the first sort of popular one. So I think that Percy Jackson is one I really enjoy. I was like, I totally was raised on Twilight. Like I remember going to those premieres as a kid in like middle school, which was like the prime age for vampire stuff to just stick in my brain. And like sure. The Vampire Diaries, I could do trivia on that as well. Both okay. The book series and the TV show, just because like, I just love like young adult fantasy. So things that are in that realm, I very much could see doing trivia about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, because your Percy Jackson reference went totally over my head about him being the drunk friend. Like, so many people recommended it to me when I started TikTok and I tried reading it and I got about 3/4 of the way through the first one and I just was not hooked. And I wonder if I was just like late to it and I'm a bit too old to jump into it for the first time now. Yeah. Like, but I really struggled with it. So, yeah, totally lost that reference on me. I haven't read Twilight, but I have seen the movies a lot of times. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just thinking about this from a contestant on your other quiz shows sort of perspective now.
Yes.
I fail at Percy Jackson. I do okay on Twilight. The Vampire Diaries, I have no idea. I didn't even know it was a book series until you just said.
And that was actually like, and I didn't watch it when it first came out because I get very annoyed when, especially TV shows, I think are like worse offenders of this. They don't adapt very closely to the book series. So like right. I had read the Vampire Diaries books and loved them. And then the show came out and I remember they made changes. Like in the books, the main character has a little sister, but in the show, she has a little brother who's much older and like has a drug problem. I was like, oh, so we gave this like the CW treatment, like right. Tap out. Like I can't do this. But then I came back and watched it later, like when I was older. So.
Yeah, I found that with the Shadowhunters series. Like, I don't know if you read The Mortal Instruments.
Don't get me started on that.
Who
cast Lily? Okay, first of all, like the fact that there's a movie and a TV show and they managed to screw both of them up so intensely. Like, whoever cast Lily Collins, and nothing against her, but whoever cast her as Clary Frey, I would like to have some words with them because she has like flaming red hair and she's like very petite and she's supposed to look like elf-like. And they were like, yes, Lily Collins, who has like thick, dark hair. I'm so angry about it. I have to stop myself from getting like too heated because that is one that just like hurts my heart a little bit because I love that book series.
Yeah, right. So I'm blinded because I have a huge crush on Lily Collins. So I was not upset that they cast her at all. Like any excuse to watch anything she does, honestly. But plot wise, I was just like, how have you made this so uninteresting? How do I not like any of the characters when so many of them in the books were so likable? Like in both, I think I watched the first season of the TV show and I just didn't bother going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that CW as well? Is that the same network? Is that why it was ruined?
I think it was like ABC Family, or it's Freeform. It'll always be ABC Family to me, but it's Freeform now.
Right.
I think that's what it was on. And because I remember, I don't even think I watched a full episode of it because I was just so disenchanted with the on-screen adaptations of it at that point.
Yeah.
And I remember in the movie too, at the very end of the movie, like one of the biggest plot points in those books is that like Clary and Jace, like for a period of time, think that they are related and the audience, the reader does as well. And in the movie, they were like, let's just make it so that the audience also knows this. And like, it is kind of like an icky plot point, right? Like it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's integral.
And like that irritated me that they were like, we're just going to let the audience know like that that's what's happening and they're purposefully being tricked into thinking that they are siblings when they're not.
Yeah. It's like, if you really think it's too gross to put in, just drop it completely.
Right.
Don't put it in, but tell the audience it's not real. So it totally loses its impact because
like,
it's right at the end
tension.
Of the first one, right? It's right at the end.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be one of the big cliffhangers. Like, oh my God, I don't know how they're going to respond to this. But, oh, a big cliffhanger that we know is a lie doesn't really have the same impact.
No, I was like, that's lazy film writing. Like, let's put some effort. And then I also, like, I love the spinoff series. I don't know if you've read, like, Clockwork Prince and Clockwork.
So I've read the Clockwork ones. I have not read, I struggle with the Dark Artifices. I took about a year and a half to read Lady Midnight and didn't bother with the rest of that series.
I feel the same way.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I feel like, I felt like I was the only one who liked the Mortal Instruments and the Infernal Devices and then felt that way about the ones in Los Angeles. Like, just didn't care about the characters. And there were so many of them being introduced.
Oh my gosh. It was kind of overwhelming. And I just felt like her writing wasn't as strong in those. Like, I just didn't connect to it as much. And like, my overall favorite is the Infernal Devices. Like, that is my favorite of any of them. It's just, it's like my comfort series. Like, I go back and just reread it constantly.
Yeah. It's so decent. I don't think I will ever care about a character as much as I care about Simon from the original, like the original series. I loved him. I don't know why I found him so likable, but I did. I don't know. I remember the movie. So I was traveling around Europe for 3 months. There was two of us were from the UK, two from the US and two from Australia. And we were doing a 3 month trip around Europe and the movie was coming out towards the end of it. And I had been reading these books while I was on the trip and I had hyped it up how excited I was that the film was going out to these people I was traveling with. And I was like, we have to see this movie. This movie's going to be amazing. I've never been so excited for a film. You have to come with me. So we were traveling Europe. Honestly, the disappointment. Like, we were traveling Europe and I wasted an entire evening in a country that they will probably never go back to because it's so far for them. And I was like, we're going to the cinema to see this film. And it was such garbage. It was so bad. Like, and then we came out and they were all like, oh, what did you think? And I was like, oh, do I save face and pretend I liked it? Or I was like, I think I'd have to see it again before I draw any conclusions. Painful experience, painful memory.
Very painful. I'm always thankful that, like, while they did leave out some major things in Harry Potter, I feel like we got a pretty darn decent film adaptation for the series. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. And like, Ginny was done very dirty. And, you know, Ron and Hermione had some tweaks to their characters. But for the most part, the characterizations were fairly accurate, like at their core.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like we got that with the Mortal Instruments. But yes, thank you for transitioning us back to Harry Potter, because I forgot this was a Harry Potter podcast for a second there. I haven't spoken to anyone about the Mortal Instruments for a long time. I got very caught up in that. okay, we've done favourite Harry Potter topics. But if you were to enter a quiz show and you could take two characters from all of Harry Potter to join your quiz team, which two are you taking and why?
I mean, I feel like Hermione is like an obvious choice just because she's so knowledgeable about everything. Like, even though she wasn't raised in the wizarding world, like, she has made it her mission to become very familiar with like everything on the very much on the academic side of things.
Yes.
And I feel like this is going to be a weird choice. I don't think it would be very fun, but I think I might bring Percy Weasley.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Because I feel like he was raised in the wizarding world, so he might know some of like the more like pop culture references, like like know about like the Deathly Hallows or something a little bit more than like someone else who wasn't raised in that world would. So I feel like he'd be kind of a stick in the mud about it, and like I wouldn't want to go get drinks with him after, but I think that he would be a good addition.
Yes, that's great, because he plugs the holes in Hermione's knowledge, like the few holes she has of things she'd know about. He plugs that. Those are great answers. Although I will say it's a very young team. Like, there's not a lot of aged experience. Like, I was thinking Professor Binns might be good for a quiz team in Harry Potter.
That's true. Although he like forgets people's first names a lot. So
that's
true. I think there is a little bit of a memory issue that he has, but he definitely like on, if it was very history focused, yes. Mm-hmm. And like McGonagall is like so sharp, so with it. Like, she would be amazing, I feel like.
Yes, that's it. We need like more than two people. I feel like I gave too few options. We need like seven to get the dream team, but
yes,
amazing. I love that. So before we wrap up, just, you've talked about how excited or how much you love Harry Potter and Percy Jackson and the Mortal Instruments and things like that. How are you feeling about the Fantastic Beasts series. Are you excited for the new one? Are you going to get us into that?
I'm honestly pretty disenchanted with the whole Fantastic Beasts franchise. So I'm not super excited. And I think that there are quite a few other stories that I would much rather watch than kind of what they have decided to make an entire film about.
Yeah, like we'll jump into that in a second. Just what is it in particular about the Fantastic? Because I feel the same about Fantastic Beasts. I'm like, the Secrets of Dumbledore is the last chance I'm going to give it. And even that is a begrudging last chance. I'm probably not going to go back if I don't love this movie. But what is it about Fantastic Beasts that's put you off so much?
I think part of it was an expectation thing going into it. Like, if you're going to say that it's Fantastic Beasts, I want there to be just magical creatures everywhere, just constant magical creatures. And we did get a good amount of that in the first movie, but it feels very much like, I don't know, it felt like an afterthought. And maybe it's because part of it is just that I'm older, but it just did not hold the same magic for me as the original series did. And it had a quirkiness to it that I don't think is a bad thing, but kind of as a departure from the Harry Potter series. So I think that my expectations going into it, if I had had none, I may have enjoyed it more. But because I had such a experience with the rest of the series, I think it just didn't measure up to the rest of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think for the first thing is the Fantastic Beasts. Like, they are absolutely an afterthought. Like, if you're going to call it that, make them integral to the plot in some capacity. Like, have you seen how small the word Fantastic Beasts are on the logo now of the, like, reveal of the Secrets of Dumbledore? It's like, it's a footnote, basically. But also, like, because I've thought about this in great detail. Like, why don't I love Fantastic Beasts? Like, it's still in the same universe that I've grown to love. But I think it's like, it's in the past, so it's not as relatable. Like, I mean, I'm assuming your age, but I grew up in the 90s. Like, I did a lot of my formative years there alongside, like, when the series takes place. Like, they're in school, they're meeting people for the first time, they're going through a lot of, like, relatable experiences. Like, don't get me wrong, we're not being hunted by magical mass murderers or anything, but, like, it's just, it's a lot of a, it's a very nostalgic sort of magical period of everyone's life, and there's always relatable moments in there. And I just feel like, I don't know, I always wondered if it was different for someone from the States, given that this one takes place stateside, like, whether it made it more relatable or not, and that was part of what was disenfranchising me from it, but not really a saving grace for you.
Maybe that person who said it was gross to hear me talk about Harry Potter in an American accent was on to something. Because watching it, like watching wizards like talk about stuff and like it, in the American accents, I do think pulled me out of the story a little bit. So man, maybe that person was actually onto something. Maybe I should like try and find them and unblock them. Because maybe they knew what they were talking about.
Oh my goodness. Like, it's not just, like, it's, I mean, the accent doesn't bother me, but words like nomad, like, there's no magic to the word nomad.
Like grim.
Makes me feel ill. So, okay, so these spin-offs that you've mentioned, give me some examples of things that you'd rather watch.
Okay, so I think it would be hilarious. Are you familiar with the TV show Psych?
I'm not, no.
Okay, so it's a very popular like American TV show. It's been off the air for a few years, but it's about this guy that pretends to be a psychic and he works with the police department. And really, he's just very good at noticing small details.
Okay.
But he pretends to be psychic and he becomes the psychic consult for the police department. So I would love a series where Sybil Trelawney is like the psychic. And she has like an aura like sidekick and it's them trying to solve crimes and her trying to fake her way through like, and she is a real like psychic in the books and the films, obviously, but she doesn't have that power like most of the time. As we see. So I think it would be hilarious to watch her try and like stumble her way through solving magical crimes and then occasionally having like a real prophecy that helps them solve what's going on.
Amazing. I love that because she does, like, she quite clearly is faking it 90% of the predictions she makes. Like, she knows it's not real. She's just making stuff up. I would love that. That is a wonderful idea because I've thought about like aura spin-offs, like crime solving ideas in the past before. But that addition of Trelawney, like with these false predictions, makes it so much more fun. I love that.
And I also, I would really love to watch like an Agatha Christie style type, like murder mystery about like the Bloody Baron and like Rowena Ravenclaw's daughter and how that all went down. I think that would be an excellent film or TV series. Yeah. I would love to watch that.
Oh, like a proper, like a really well done, like a Knives Out style whodunit.
Yes.
I love that.
Obviously, like, we know who did it because they're ghosts, but like if we suspend that disbelief for a hot second, I think that would be super fun.
Yeah, like even, I know that in Knives Out, we didn't really know who'd done it, but for a lot of it, we thought we know who'd done it, and it didn't ruin the narrative at all. It was still really well done.
Absolutely.
No spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen that.
I actually just watched that like 2 nights ago, so very, and for for like the fifth time. Okay. I've watched it a bunch of times, so it's a very good, timely reference.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
So, okay, what else have we got? Give me some more spin-off ideas. I love these.
I mean, like, I would love to just watch anything that's, like, Marauders-focused. Like, I feel like we get so little of them in this series. I would love to watch almost, like, a Friends-style TV show.
That would be cool, like a sitcom.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, them interacting. Or, like, a Saved by the Bell type thing, but it's them, like, in their young years. And it's more, like, comical. Yeah. I think that would be so fun. And I would watch the heck out of that.
Serious breaking the fourth wall like Zach Morris does would be amazing. Oh my God, I want that. Yes. And Lily James would be Jessie. Not Lily James. Oh my God, she's on the mind clearly from when you mentioned her earlier. My crush has come back. Lily Potter would be Jessie, like the do-gooder know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I love that. Yes. Have you read all the Young Dudes, the fanfic about the Marauders?
Okay, I've read like no Harry Potter fan fiction, and I feel like I haven't talked about it a lot because I don't want people to be like, you have no credibility here, because like that's a huge part of the Harry Potter fandom. So
it's
I've read none of it.
So like about a month ago, I was exactly the same. I'd never read any of it, and I sort of had no interest in reading any of it because I don't know about you as you currently are, but I had this misconception that fanfic is all smut or people who can't write just like in their like dorm room or whatever, just like writing a story they can't be asked to finish later. And I thought it was all going to be terrible. And the amount of comments I got from people saying, read all the Young Dudes, you have to read all the Young Dudes. So I started reading all the Young Dudes. And I had to have an intervention with myself because I read the first section of it because it's split up into like the years that they're at school and stuff.
Right.
And at the end of the first year, I finished the first year and then I went away to a very good friend of mine's wedding and it was like a 3-day event. And I was at this wedding and I was like, I kind of just want to get home and read all the Young Dudes. And I was like, that's not okay. I'm watching a very good friend of mine get married to the love of his life. I should be excited, not wanting to go home and read fan fiction. So I had to stage an intervention, but that's how good it is. It's so, so decent. So if I can recommend it, it's the only fanfic I've ever read and I'm still only like, I'm not even 1/7 of the way through it, but it's brilliant. It's so decent.
And I'm like very intrigued by like that whole plot. And I'm very much like not opposed to fanfic, but I do think I worry that because I make the trivia videos that if I start reading fanfiction, I'll start just like throwing very non-canon things in there and people will be like, wait a minute. So that stresses me out a little bit, but also like that is the one that I've heard of the most as well. So like maybe one day I'll break down and finally get into like the fan fiction realm a little.
Exactly. Like when you've made the Harry Potter quiz TV show, like you've conquered every platform on it, like you've made your millions and you retire, you put your feet up, you can have a cup of tea and read all the Young Dudes at last.
Yes.
Amazing. I love it. So we're gonna have to wrap this up because we're 40 minutes in already.
Oh my gosh.
But it's fine. Like I said, talk about Harry Potter just gets away from you, right? I could do it for hours, literally. So before we finish, there are some questions that I ask every single person that comes on this podcast, and I would like to put them to you. The first one being, imagine you're in charge at Hogwarts, but you have the task of removing an entire house from the school. Which house are you getting rid of?
So I've thought about this in depth, and first, as a Ravenclaw, I have to like do a shout out for like why Ravenclaw shouldn't be removed.
Please.
Because I think people forget a lot that it's also the creative house. Like it's not just the smart house. Mm-hmm. So if you get rid of Ravenclaw, that gives me very much the vibes of like you're cutting the arts program and that's icky true. And I don't like that. So that's in defense of my own house. but I think that if I had to get rid of a house, this is going to be controversial. I would get rid of Hufflepuff.
Ooh.
And I have a reasoning. It's because I think that the traits of Hufflepuff are super important, like the kindness and the loyalty, but they're very much focused on like helping other people. So I think that by sticking 11-year-olds into that category, you are setting them up to get taken advantage of by other people.
100%.
And I think that the other houses could use a little more of that sprinkled throughout them. So that is why I would get rid of Hufflepuff.
Very diplomatic reasoning.
I love Hufflepuffs, but...
Yeah, I was going to say Hufflepuff reasoning, almost. great defense of your own house as well. You're absolutely right. I never thought of it like that, but it does kind of feel like cutting the arts programs, and arts are important. I always thought Hufflepuff would be the most common answer to this question, but I think it's the least common. I think I've only had it once before you, like in like 15, 16 guests or something. So good answer. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably pick Hufflepuff. I'd pick Gryffindor. I go back and forth. It depends what mood I'm in. I'm a Slytherin. I'll just cut all of them.
yeah, there you go.
Second question. Your magic, Mac, but you can only do one spell for the rest of your life. What spell are you going to pick?
Okay, so I thought about this too, and I have like a silly answer and a real answer to this.
Give me both.
So my real answer is Opisky, because healing, I feel like, and you can only do like minor things, right? Like you can't like heal major injuries. But my mom actually has like a lot of autoimmune disorders, one of which is like type 1 diabetes. So when she gets like little cuts and things, they take forever to heal. So if I could like do that spell and make it so that she didn't have to deal with like how long it takes things to heal, I would love to be able to do that.
That's great. That's such a good answer. Very well thought out. You're such a Ravenclaw.
But my silly answer is, and it's like a movie only to my knowledge, is Aranya Exume, because I hate spiders. I want them out of my house. But that's like my silly, like not real answer. But I don't enjoy spiders, so.
Yeah, if you had to have one that couldn't impact your life that much, you'd pick the spider one.
Yeah.
Excellent answer. I love that. You can get a tattoo, but like the paintings and stuff, it can move. What tattoo would you like?
I feel like I would love a tattoo of a dog and have it be like my emotional support tattoo. And like when I'm feeling down, it's just like there wagging its tail like, hey, how are you? Like, I think that would be so calming and lovely.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. I'm stealing that answer now if anyone ever asks me that. I realize I mainly am the person that asks it, but anytime I ask it from now on, I'll just jump in with my answer and steal yours.
Go for it. I think having a dog on like your arm permanently would be like the best thing ever. So more 100%. People should give that answer.
Yes, absolutely. Great answer. Final question. Imagine you're on a date. It's going really, really well. But then suddenly the other person says something about Harry Potter that is enough of a red flag to make you just get up and leave. What sort of opinion are they giving?
Okay, I feel like this is like very specific and like it's going to feel silly. But if someone is overly critical of Cho Chang, it is a red flag to me. Mm-hmm. Like if someone is like, I made a Cho Chang video recently and people were like, oh my gosh, all she does is talk about her ex-boyfriend and she's just using Harry and she doesn't even like him. Like all this, the people are so critical of Cho. And to me, I'm like, if your boyfriend got murdered when you were 16, I think you might have a little trouble processing that and not be able to like parse out those emotions super well. So to 100%. Me, when people are overly critical of her, it signals to me that they potentially lack empathy. So it's like, that's a red flag to me.
100%. Like people criticize her for wanting to talk about Cedric. Like even Harry in the books is like, all she wants to do is talk about Cedric and I don't want to. And it's like, her boyfriend died and you were the last person to see him alive. Of course she wants to talk to you about him. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah. And he is like what they have in common. Like that is the thing that they both share is Cedric. And I get that people are like, oh, well, Harry's setting a boundary and she's pushing back on that. And I'm like, but they are both teenagers grieving a horrible thing. And for some reason, Cho is the one that catches all the criticism for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Another great answer. I feel like
thank you.
I need more Ravenclaws on the podcast because these are all super well thought out. Not to take any of it away from you personally. Obviously, it's all you, not just your house shining through. But this was so much fun. Mac, is there anything you want to plug before we wrap it up?
I guess just my TikTok. It's Mac Brenneman. And I also have a link on there. I have like a little Redbubble shop where I have some designs that are inspired by some of our favorite witches and wizards. So if you need like a sticker or a magnet, I have my Redbubble shop linked in my TikTok, and it's just Mac Brenneman too if you go on Redbubble.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. Will you come back at some point when I when I do the next run of guests?
Yeah, I would love to. This was so much fun.
Amazing. Thank you so much.